Hello, 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 and welcome everybody to today's episode. Today I have with me Tim Kilroy, and he is a master when it comes to going ahead and really being able to help agencies scale and being able to help them grow and really, most importantly, be able to run the type of business that they want to run. So for those of you guys who don't know Tim, Tim Kilroy has been running a growing agency since 2001. And after all those times, he's got a few things figured out, namely how to turn WTF into wow, that's fantastic. Tim, a big welcome to the show.
Right. WTF, we all know that what that stands for, right? Like it's wow, that's fantastic, or what's the fix, or which thing first, or what the flippity gibbet. That's, you know, because when I was running agencies, honestly, like almost every day, I'd be like, oh my God, what the? Because you just could not imagine that the thing that just happened, you know, and it's, and one of the things that's been, that's that over the years, I've really settled into is the biggest WTF moments almost always come from having the wrong clients. Almost always. Not, I mean, staff issues aside. I mean, because there's plenty of WTF moments when you're dealing with people. But when you've got, when you say yes, when you hire the wrong client, you're just setting yourself up to have more WTF moments than you can possibly imagine. And one of the biggest ways to change that is to change how you present yourself. So the people who aren't right for you are more interested in, I mean, they're less interested in being with you, not more interested, because you want to, like, you want to attract the people that sort of vibe with you.
Absolutely. 100%. And that's the real topic that I actually want to dive into today with you, is because I know that you're one of the best in the world at that, I would say, or at least from what I've personally seen, is really being able to attract the right type of clients. And what I think that we should do on today's episode is really just kind of do a breakdown, even just using my own site as an example, just to really see kind of your mindset on how you go about looking and positioning and being able to dive in. Does that sound like something you'd want to do?
Yes. But before we jump in, I do want to let you know that the world has changed. And so for most prospects, your website is the last part of what they do, right? And so the really big thing is you've got to have that right messaging and that right attitude and that right feel on your website, but you also have to sort of live it. You know, you have to be posting about it. You need to be talking about it. You need to be sharing why that makes sense, because in the process that we go through, and I call it Demand OS because I am super creative, you know, like it's because I like the world needs another OS, but it seemed okay at the time. And then I was too lazy to change it. What we really start with is this thing called vibes, visions, and values. And so we really jump in and figure out not just what, you know, not scaling stuff, right? Because that's like scaling stuff is mechanical. This is way more emotional and important because it really defines like the kind of work you're attracted to, the kind of people you want to work with, the kind of point of view that you want to bring to the client. And really, you know, would Oscar Wilde say something like, you might as well be yourself because everyone else is taken? Well, you know, in agencies, everybody's they're all, you know, ROI focused. They're an extension of your team. They are customer centric. They provide you with a 360 degree view. Like everybody uses that language. So for those of you who are older, all of that stuff sounds like a Charlie Brown adult. I don't know if you know, like, wah, 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 wah. Like, it has it doesn't make any sense to anybody because those words are kind of meaningless. And also they're like, duh, yeah, you have to be that way. You're in a service business, idiot. So why say it? So you really, really need to dig deep into what makes your agency different. And it's not freaking, it's not results focused case studies or your proprietary process or any of that stuff. It's like, it's who you and your team are when you all work together.
I see what you're saying there. Okay, that sounds really interesting. So what you're actually saying is it's almost like you're communicating the values that you stand for or who you are as a person. Is that what you're going at?
Well, so if your agency were a person, right? And your agency's values and tone and style are all built from the people that work there. And if you're an early stage agency, honestly goodness, it's you. Right. If you're like a, you know, if you were basically a small agency that's, you know, a founder and like three other people, like whatever you know, it is you that is imbued into your agency brand. But that's honestly the thing that makes the difference.
So I think I'm getting what you're saying here. And I want to be able to communicate this clearly. What you're basically saying is that your brand, your website, the materials that you're posting, it's not like communicating, oh, this is the amazing results that we get. It's really trying to bring in the type of clients that you're going to actually want to associate with, right? Yeah. Who are on the same wavelength as you. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because otherwise, I am very informal all the time. Mm. I always have been. A long time ago, back when people actually traveled to meetings, and I was working with a search engine at the time. This was way back in the .com boom. I had the opportunity to go work with American Express, and so I showed up in my .com uniform of jeans and a sweater, and the guy that was sort of the champion of bringing my company in at that point, he said, so did you bring clothes to change into? Because we're like suit and tie sort of people. And I was like, oh, nope, I did not. And so like that was a super big cultural mismatch. Now, in that example, like it was a much bigger, I was working for a much bigger company. So they had a sophistication and scale connection with American Express. So I think the corporate values were relatively aligned. But putting me in that boardroom, there was a real disconnect. And that didn't end up impacting the deal much, but it is something that I have carried with me for the past, well, at this point, it's like 30 years. Like, that was a mistake. Like, can you, like, if you're going to have a good, successful client relationship, like, you need to be able to connect at all levels, not just the idea of you, but the actual human beings with attitudes, predilections, and ways of being. Like, they all have to connect in a reasonable way.
I see exactly what you're talking about. And it's actually really funny because, as you know, what I do is I do partnerships, I do embedding offers and those types of things. And it's funny, the way that I call it is the vibe check, right? When I first meet somebody, it's just within like 5 minutes, you know, if you vibe with somebody or not. I was even talking with a potential client yesterday, and the vibe just wasn't right. It just seemed like they were more super corporate-y and I was a little bit more friendly. And I was just like, I just gotta be honest with you. I just don't think this is a good fit for us.
I must say I once lost, somebody referred somebody to me, and so I was really trying to help. So I was stretching what I was doing as a coach to try to help this person. That was a mistake, but he chose not to work with me because, I swore during our meeting, and he thought that showed a lack of discipline and seriousness. And what he really wanted from a coach was somebody that he perceived to be a superior human being.
Me,
I was like,
sure.
Like, first of all, there's no such thing. And also, if there were such a thing, that would so not be me.
Sure.
Yeah. All right.
It's funny that you say that, because just even looking at your website and looking at my website, like for that person who is like, oh, I don't want somebody who's trans. I mean, literally the first two lines of your thing says the WTF agency method, find out WTF.
Yeah. Like, so, yeah. Find out what's going on with your agency.
For sure. But it's really interesting seeing, now that you're talking and I'm actually reading through your website right now. I think it's very fascinating, because literally the way that we've had conversations before and the way that you actually talk is truly communicated in this site. And when I look at mine, for example, as you've probably gotten to know me, is that I think I'm a pretty happy-go-lucky person, but like my headline, for example, says stop waiting, start structuring. And when you look at the types of things, almost it seems like my website is more engineering type of a structure, right? When in reality, it's
vibes, right? Like
exactly.
you were connecting obvious opportunities with the right vibes, right? And so yeah, I would, and normally I charge a lot for this, so like you're gonna get this for free. So good. It's going to be so good. Listen, like this podcast will be the best value that you've purchased today.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I really hope that our community gets a lot out of this, because for me, it's like one thing talking about it. It's another thing visually seeing.
Yeah.
Right. And being able to understand that. So I'm really curious your breakdown now that you've gotten to know me over two calls or so. What have you noticed on my site that is a clear disconnection?
Yeah, so if you give me a second here, I'm going to share my screen so we can all enjoy the fun. All right. Okay. So, first of all, like you have a really nice smile, but. Just sort of first visually, does your picture hold up to the visual weight of what's on the left-hand side of the page? Like, I feel like you are overshadowed by the headlines. Right? And so I love the fact that you've got your trademark up there. That's great. But what I don't really know, like, is what does, like, it's not super clear, like, structural alliance architecture. That just as easily could have been, that could be some sort of like true, like, back end engineering thing, right? So I think that you want to give that some more context. The other thing is, right, like immediately, if I get here, what am I waiting for? And who is this for? Like, is this for doctors? Is it for zookeepers? I don't know.
For sure. It's definitely for zookeepers.
Yeah, it's like it needs a little bit of context, because what you want whenever you're generating any kind of context for somebody, you want them to be like, oh yeah, that's me. Like I understand what you're saying because I identify. You want somebody to get there and then understand, like, yes, this is speaking to me, or this can address a problem that I feel. And I think that's super, super important. This is like stopping a hostage to wait and hope referrals. Like, that's great. But it, you know, that sort of it implies that there's some other kind of referral. And also, we don't really mention, like, why that's bad. Like, what's the problem? So I think what I would want to do is who is your target client? Like, who's the person that you want to speak with that you know you can help the most?
For sure. Absolutely. So the three biggest ones is agencies, coaches, and consultants. I found that those three are like the bread and butter that get the best results.
Okay.
With this.
All right. So we got to find a way to sort of let those people know that this is the right spot for them. So maybe we want to talk about this, you know, in terms of, you know, and I'm just, it obviously this messaging would need some adjustment, but I might start out something like with a question, you know, B2B service business stuck, stalled, trapped, whatever, limited, capped, something around that as a question.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd want to be provocative and say something like, it's all your fault.
And then
I would say something like, it's all your fault because you're not leveraging the opportunities that are just beyond your fingertips.
Mm.
Or something like that. Because what you do is you help people that can amplify each other's businesses, connect and create, and, you know, create a 1+1=3 sort of thing.
And so
you got to make this like super clear. Like, the pain is your revenue's stuck or your growth is stuck. And by the way, I don't want you to say, referrals are unreliable or whatever, because first of all, everybody says that. And also, if you really think about what a referral is, like, it's not supposed to be like a constant regular stream, because that would mean that your target client is talking to peers all the time.
And
they don't, like,
for
once
sure.
in a while. Yeah. But I think the bigger thing that you need to think about referrals as, they're like a dividend. Like, they're the yield that you get from doing great work with somebody.
Absolutely. Right?
And so I think you should celebrate referrals, but then somehow connected to the fact, like, yeah, like, referrals are fantastic, but they're a gift. And you need to take control, or you need to exercise your power, or, you know, you need to be engaged in growth rather than hope or something like that.
Absolutely. 100%. Tim, that is fantastic breakdown right there. And I'm so glad that you took a look at that, because, I mean, that's what you're describing here. And it's really interesting. Like, most of what I've always done has always been through videos, and conversations and creating the hook there. What you're basically saying is that your website, the headline, when somebody first comes in, it's literally like a conversation hook.
Yeah, like, am I in the right place?
I see what you're saying. That makes sense. No, thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it.
All right, now there's more here.
Yeah. Rip me apart.
I think, honestly, that you have a typo here. I can't really tell, but maybe it's my screen. Oh, I guess it's my screen. Never mind. But, you know, decode perfect. Is it decode or decay?
Decade. Oh, decade. Decade. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what? So, I mean, first of all, I'm old, and, you know, for me, I really couldn't tell that, if that was a decade or decode perfecting the logic, because since you've got this like engineering vibe to it, my first thought was you were decoding something, or I would actually maybe change either. I'd probably increase the weight of the font so it's more clear, but like, no, nobody's asked about you yet.
I see where you're going with this. So what you're saying is that it's still I'm turning it towards me, but you're actually saying that even the whole first part of the website is all about that.
The whole freaking website's about that.
The whole website. Okay, I got
you know, as a service business, like you do the stuff that you do, but your whole job is to match what your audience needs. Right?
Absolutely.
All right. So, and then infinite referral dependency eliminated.
Yeah.
First, you can't measure infinite. It seems cool. And what does that mean? And then the 4-stage protocol to inevitability.
Yeah.
Inevitable what?
I see what you're saying.
All right. So now, like, this is way better. Here's the problem. Lone wolf liability, though. I would change lone wolf to make I'd make it more like, you know, you don't have to do this all yourself. Like, there's a community of people that are on your side. And then you've got something here that really just strikes me as wrong, and also runs counter to your value proposition. Most elite firms operate on a word of mouth luck model. Well, cool. I would like to be an elite firm. Thank you.
I see what you're saying.
And so what you might want to put here is like most struggling firms. Or most firms who can't grow are stuck in this model. I love this one. The accidental generosity of your network. That is so good.
Thank you.
Keep that. And as a matter of fact, I think that you should probably bring that right up front. Like, let's figure out how to get that on the first screen, because nobody's going to get to this lovely phrase.
Yeah.
Because if they're not entranced right here, like if they're not like, holy shit, I am in the right place. I got to get moving. Like, what else? Come on, give it to me, baby. Right. That's what we're after. All right. So the traditional fixes are strategic suicide. I would actually change this to something like, you don't want to make it sound like you're kind of shitting on some of the people that you're serving.
Yeah.
So I would actually say, like, these are the traps that smart people fall into because they seem like they make sense.
I see what you're saying there. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Oh,
okay.
And then I think this needs some work, because we don't want to waste, because really, even though you're going with partnerships as the growth opportunity, you don't want to say that all of the other ways to do it are bad.
Because they're probably already doing that, is what you're saying, correct?
Well, also, you know, if you are really thinking about your clients, you want them to have optionality. because there's going to be some time, you know, referrals dry up, whatever.
For sure.
Sometimes, like your regular partner that's been that where you guys have been working together for years and it's delightful. Mm. Well, somebody changes or something like that. And so I don't want you to advise people to burn the boats, but you can say like, this is what other people, like these are traps that other people fall into.
Yeah.
Since you're here, like, let me let you in on something that smart people sometimes avoid for all the wrong reasons.
Okay. This is really interesting, seeing your thought process actually going through this. Like, I mean, you can tell that you've done this about a million times.
at least. Okay. So I would change this from I think how I would approach this is I would say that everybody does marketing.
Mm.
Only the best install embedded distribution.
Ah.
Because we really want to get like, this is your IP.
The brand. Yeah.
So like we gotta get that up front. Okay. And again, here, top players are building, structural alliances. I'd want to just like jump into, I'd want to focus more on embedded distribution here. Because really that is your, like, that's the thing that makes you you.
Interesting that you're saying that too, because on your website, as I'm looking at it, like you mentioned the WTF method like over and over and over and over again. So you're really bringing.
It's mostly because I love swearing, but that's because I read somewhere that people who swear in conversation have lower stress and show much more intelligence. So I decided to double down.
Yeah, you like to be an intelligent guy.
and honestly, I did swear once in this conversation already, and I'm trying so hard not to do it again.
But that's who you are, and it's interesting.
Well, I know, but I want to be respectful of you as well.
Absolutely, 100%.
You might be an American Express sort of guy that wears suit and tie.
Right up, like.
All right. So I totally, it's like this makes sense only because we have spoken.
Yeah. But not if you're just reading it the first time. And what you're referring to here is the upstream allies, the downstream
as
well.
This whole thing.
Yeah.
Because you still haven't told me what embedded means. Like, I don't know what the flip you're talking about here. Like, you want me to go like, is this like staff augmentation? Am I jumping into am I working for these people? Whatever. I don't like it. Am I white labeling? I don't know.
Absolutely.
But I do like the upstream and downstream.
Sure.
That's good.
But I haven't told you what it means yet.
And that's exactly. And, I get it. And as a matter of fact, okay, finally, we've got to what this is. You were making me into a required asset.
Mm.
Okay. All right. So if I knew that up here, if I knew that up in this part of my life,
yep.
I would like, this would make so more much sense. More sense.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think this is your services baked into your partner's workflow. That is clear, but not powerful.
Mm.
Right. Because you're saying, oh, like I am subservient because I'm just a part of their workflow. I don't have my own thing here, right?
Sure.
And this is very true. Partnerships are rarely equal.
Absolutely.
you know, I at one point I had worked with a guy who's just the most delightful sales process person that I have ever worked with. And he's fantastic. But one day he was sharing something inside of his CRM with me. We were doing a screen share. And I saw that like more than 50% of his clients and more than 50% of his pipeline were referrals from me.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now,
which was cool.
Yeah.
But I didn't get any referrals from him. There was no reciprocity.
For sure.
And so
what was his business there? What was he doing?
It's a sales process development.
Okay. Sales process development.
Like, yeah. Sure. Really, so good at his job. And like, I would still feel comfortable handing people to him, but to tell you the truth, it hurt my feelings.
Absolutely.
Not like, what the hell, dude? Like,
for sure.
I was like, I'm paying, you know, like my clients are paying for your kids' college and, you know, and I can't buy a cup of coffee with what you've given me.
For sure.
And so you do have to remember, that, I mean, I don't know that you necessarily have to, address this, but somewhere you want to make sure that like you're baked into the partner's workflow is empowering rather than making you, subservient.
I see what you're saying there. Okay. So, I understand.
So yeah. I would adjust this, but this like that you become a required asset is really good.
Yep.
But I think that we do need to, and maybe actually we don't need to make it, you know, required asset, because I think what you really want is for people to feel like I'm a vital asset.
For like, sure.
I'm indispensable.
Like, it's like a logical next step, right?
Yeah. And also required is obligatory.
Mm.
And everybody wants to be wanted.
For sure. I see what you're saying there.
Yeah. But I think you probably need to bring this before and after up higher on the page so that this diagram makes more sense.
For sure.
All right. Okay. The four-stage protocol. I mean, this is all fine. But I don't like, is this worth telling people right now? Or is this something that happens after somebody's interested?
After somebody's interested.
So how do you like? So I think what you need to do is change this into like, here's the list of shit that I do, because that is what service providers often revert to.
For sure.
I think that you'd want to turn this from a description of what happens to the change that it creates.
The transformation.
Yeah. So after I audit my ecosystem, what am I going to realize? Like, you're going to realize, and I'm guessing that most people realize that there's untapped potential in the people they work with the people they know and love, or sure, they don't have anybody who's upstream. And maybe they need to start thinking like that. I think better than identifying upstream allies is like you want to know where you live in the ecosystem, because I am sure that with your clients, they have identified, like after working with you, they've identified upstream and downstream partners that they didn't imagine before.
For sure. Absolutely.
100%. And even like people that may not be in the same, like it just may not have been in their realm of recognition before that. Not just that they didn't know them, but they didn't know that they existed.
Absolutely. 100%. So it's really focusing on that transformation that
yeah, because at the end of the day, like if you think about this four step this phased protocol,
yeah,
like that's just the like that's just the serving dish on which you deliver transformation, right? So you know when a chef comes out, you know, I mean, chefs are masters of transformation. They take all the ingredients in the kitchen, they do Absolutely. Stuff to them, they change them and make it something that's unique and beautiful. But you do notice that when a chef comes out, they tell you stuff that makes it attractive. They don't say, well, first, I went to culinary school and got my knife skill down really super freaking well so I can dice a carrot like you would not believe. And then, because I know how to do that, I can make it really small and I can put it inside this chicken. Right? So process is important, but process isn't emotional. Like this is a logical justification for the emotional opportunity that you highlighted earlier.
Absolutely.
And even though you were really trying to take this very relationship and high trust environment that you create, you're turning it into an engineering like process. This is very sort of academic.
I see what you're saying. As opposed to speaking to the desires that they
have. Yeah, right. Because, I once came up with a really good definition of marketing, which is the assemblage of facts about your service or product that creates the most desire in your target market.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a great quote.
Yeah. I made it up all myself. Let's imagine that there's like there's an imaginary TM there. This is so good for a follow up.
For sure. But it's not the first thing that somebody wants to see. What you're literally saying is the website itself is to sell the desire. And then the desire is the click. It sells the click. And then once they do the click, they schedule a call. That's the next stage where you
show
the
process. What I want to feel when I get here, and not in a manipulative way, is like, oh man, Adam knows something I don't. And if I understood what he understood, the thing that I know how to do could be so much better.
For sure. And question regarding that, regarding agencies. So for any agencies that's listening to this right now, so everybody has like their own sort of magic trick that everybody's a specialist at, right? So it doesn't really matter, even if it's like SEO, some people are really good at keywords, some people are really good at internal backlinking, right? Like those types of things. How much of the, are you ever explaining what your specialty is, or is it always future pacing?
You have to, I mean, there's two ways to think about this. Actually, I'm going to change the construct here. So there's two things that you need to deliver immediately to any visitor. Number one is this directed at me? Like, you know.
For sure.
Right? Number two is, does this match the problem I think I have?
Yes.
So if I am 100% convinced that
I have this problem.
Key to unlocking scale is by having better ad creative. It doesn't matter how good your SEO offer is or how compelling your argument is. You don't fit in my mental model, so I'm going to bail. And so you've got to be super clear, like, is it for me and what is it? Because people make decisions. I mean, if you just think about what we do as human beings, our brains are these amazing pattern matching machines. And so if you don't match my pattern, you might be interesting, but there's a lot of friction to me taking action.
I see. I see what you're saying here. What you're literally saying is that when somebody's hitting your website or hitting your LinkedIn or email or whatever, right? That person, the viewer, they already need to believe whatever the structure is that you're pitching, right? So for example, with me, I do partnerships, I embedded sales systems. So when somebody hits, their belief system must already be referrals. If they're in the mindset of ads, then when they hit my page, it's not going to.
Yeah. It does not matter at all if you can actually help the person. Like that's irrelevant.
Okay.
Right. So somebody could come in thinking like, oh, they're going to like, I'm just like pulling stuff out of my delicate parts here. Like, you know, oh, Adam does, he helps me find affiliates or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, if that's what I've been led to believe, and I get here and I'm thinking, oh, Adam's the affiliate guy. And then I'm like, what the embedded, like, I don't know. And so it might, and because we, very few people have the time or the desire to really dig into something to see why it's different or better. You have to sort of, you've got to do the hard work of categorization first.
That is gold, what you were saying right there. Like that is genuinely, holy smokes, Tim. Okay. I'm seeing it super clear.
And here's like, and since we talked about agencies that are full service where they have 9 bazillion services that they offer. Like if you have a bunch of services that you offer, that's cool, but you can't sell all those services as equally good or equally valuable because you were then asking the prospect or client or visitor to say like, here's the buffet of services. And we're not really going to tell you very much about them, but go ahead and say and figure out which one of these is your problem so that we can pitch you on the thing that you think is right. And that is putting the work on the prospect. So what you really want to do, even if you do have like a super broad array of services, because there are agencies that are fantastic at a lot of stuff, it's like you've got to adjust that as you've got to adjust that into like, why do all these services provide the transformation? Like it's not like it, you know, it's not like a sushi menu where you're like, yeah, I want some nigiri and I want some yellowfin. Like you're not picking out individual pieces. You've got to really believe that all of these services come together in this context to create opportunity for you. So you've got to provide what the context is. So I have a client, super, super smart guy, and he does a lot of stuff. And he has started to define all problems in a business around the idea of, you know, it's not an offer problem, it's not a pricing problem, it's not a page problem, it's an audience problem. And so he worked with e-com folks, like if your business isn't growing, it's because you don't understand the audience well enough so that you can deliver what they want, need, and can identify.
For sure. Right. Absolutely.
And so for those of us who are not big brands with giant marketing budgets, you know, your audience really is one person at a time for the most part. Maybe 3 people at a time, if you're lucky. So what you're really focusing on is the person who's on this page. Am I giving them the right opportunity for desire and the comfort that when I speak to them, I'm going to have some understanding of what they need.
For sure. So that way, when you are talking to somebody, like you've already pretty much pinpointed, and because your message is super clear the whole way through, it's probably likely the only problem that they have when you are communicating, right? Because your messaging is so clear.
No? Yeah, though, I mean, it's not, no, it's, yeah. So by the way, it's the problem that people think they have rarely is the one that they do have.
Yeah.
But in order to create the opportunity for you to create the transformation that you're capable of creating, you've got to make that person feel understood.
Absolutely. And you need to be speaking to the pain that they think that you sell the pain that they think they have, and then give them what they actually need.
Yeah, but not like in a bait and switch. Like a lot of people do that. They're like, yeah, no, absolutely. We are very focused on your brand, and we're really here to help you grow your brand. And then they talk about whatever CRO stuff. There's no congruity there.
For sure.
So you've just got to be able to take what you do and find the lens that allows the transformation or the pieces, the activities that you do to create the transformation. You've got to be able to show it through a lens that makes it digestible for someone, you know, to see and say like, oh yes, that's me. I understand what he's saying. There's probably this person or this company knows something that I don't. And they, you know, and I feel comfortable that they're going to understand me.
I got you. Okay.
Now, by the way, here's a super, super, super important thing for you especially for agencies, to know is, and this was for, this was from Ad Age. And I think it was a while ago. I think it's 2022. Ad Age did a survey of big spending brands that changed agencies in the previous couple of years. And most of these folks were in the Fortune 500. Something like 70% of CMOs that made an agency change did so because they did not feel like their advertising agency or their marketing agency truly understood their business. Isn't that
And 70%.
So yeah. Crazy. Now, of course, that is only the people that changed. So the people didn't change. Obviously, they probably feel like their agency understands fine. But that is so, so, so important, is that you need to be showing that you understand the problems that your target market feels. And also understand, like, what are their constraints? Like what's the stuff that they just can't? Like, so if somebody came to me and said, oh, Tim, listen, like, the key to you becoming, you know, a $12 trillion business is you buying this 83-story office building in downtown Boston. You know, if you do that, if you just come up with the $250 million that you need for the down payment, you know, like $1 trillion is right around the corner. Yeah,
for sure.
Great. You know, right. So, you know, like I do okay, but I don't have $250 million, you know. So even though the reward would be great, because I'm imagining $1 trillion is a lot more than $250 million.
For sure.
But
there's a constraint.
Yeah, there's a constraint. So that might be a great solution, but it's stupid to tell it to me because it doesn't make any sense for me.
For sure.
And so that's a big part of having somebody like be able to identify and trust, like identify that they're in the right place and trust that you understand them.
Absolutely. That is outstanding.
Who this is for? Okay.
I think I already know what you're going to say with this one.
I would this is really flabby. So, by the way, like long-term equity over quick fix hacks, that's not a who.
Valid.
High complexity, high value solutions. That's more like a what?
A what?
But that's closer to who this is for. So I think that you want to like double down here, right?
For sure.
And also,
you can move it up probably closer to the top. Right?
Yes, absolutely. To go up. The other thing is, there's a book that I'm going to recommend that everybody read, especially if you're an agency. It's David C. Baker's The Business of Expertise. Go and buy it. You know, notionally, David is a direct competitor of mine, but his book is fantastic. He's brilliant. He's a little curmudgeonly, but he's brilliant. And you should read that book, especially Adam. I think you should read that book simply because it gives you a mindset into how your target clients, which are people who sell expertise,
yep,
like what they need to be thinking about. And I think that will help you. That will help you sharpen up the positioning. By the way, if you're saying this in a world of AI generated noise, there better not be a single thing that feels
like AI,
written.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And actually, I would actually get rid of that. And I would make this much bigger. This is what you're helping your clients create.
For sure.
Right? And I don't know that we need to
say that.
Yeah. So the one thing that we have not done yet at all is this. We have not defined the referral trap.
I see where you're going with that.
And build structural inevitability. I get where you're going here, but this is floofy enough to be like, what?
What does that even mean?
Yeah. And so, you know, it's rather than inevitability, which, by the way, is like a good word, like it's evocative of something.
Yep.
But it's not necessarily emotional.
I see what you're saying.
Also, you have not really, really identified or shared the transformation that comes about when your distribution is embedded inside of another company's value proposition. How does that, like, what the hell? Like, what? Like, tell me the story. I don't mean literally tell a story, but let's be clear. Like, you do this, you get that.
Yeah. Sure.
Because you know, who this is for? First of all, I still don't know. And even though, like, you went through the effort to trademark embedded distribution.
Get it.
Why the F are you not giving me the most exciting, sexy, passionate, lust and greed inducing definition of embedded distribution?
I see what you're saying. Yeah. It's true.
Like, you know,
complete,
like,
missed opportunity.
Yeah. Like, if this is the container for your IP.
Yeah.
You gotta make me
want it.
Need it. Like, yeah. Want it.
Absolutely.
The CTA is a call.
Yeah.
That's fine, but I want you to tell me that it's a fucking call. because Matt, my perfect partners.
Yep.
I'm thinking like, oh, I'm going to tell you about my business and you're going to give me an idea Like, you're going to give me a, like, or you're going to, you're, you know, that I'm going to get to do something here.
For sure.
But it's a call.
There's a disconnect with what you're saying.
Yeah, a little bit. And I do like your cheeky all structural rights reserved. But I think we, but I like what you're selling is what you're really selling is a, like you're selling a framework in which trust grows or amplifies.
What I'm really selling is a way of life. Like, that's honestly the way that I view what I do, is it's like selling a way of life, right?
As actually, opposed to... that's not what you're doing.
No, okay.
You're selling a way of thinking, right?
Ah, okay, yeah.
You're selling a way, like you are selling a, like, and really when it comes right down to it, every expert, everybody who's in the business of expertise is selling a point of view.
For sure.
You know, like the stuff that I sell, essentially is, you know, first of all, you can't fix anything until you know what's wrong.
Sure.
Like that's one of the things that I'm really passionate about. Number two is this whole idea of like vibes, vision, and values, making sure that you are putting yourself and the things that are most important to you out into the market so people can respond to you. And then there's a talk that I have given several times called like don't sell like an asshat. And that's
a good motto.
You know, because I like there's a lot of bad sales stuff happening, so you know, and so if the things that you're espousing in your marketing and content don't carry through to the sales process, to the onboarding process, to the client experience process, then it's all fake. And so you've got to make sure that point of view, that vibe, vision, and values goes all the way through the experience of working with you. And so my point of view is like, if you don't understand what your, and I call it your VVV, if you don't understand what your VVV is, nothing else matters. Like, it doesn't matter how good you are at something, because it doesn't matter your technical expertise, because if somebody doesn't feel aligned with you and they don't feel like that you understand them and they understand you, like the value of your expertise drops dramatically.
I see what you're saying there. This is, Tim, you are probably one of the smartest guys I've ever heard when it comes to this type of stuff. Like, truly, and I mean this is amazing what you have done here. Like, even just, I mean, you've totally changed my whole way of thinking about a brand, right? Like in how to communicate. Tim, seriously, thank you.
Should I send you a bill or?
Yeah. it's hysterical, literally on the call. I always just have like the 45-minute timer on the recording where like it just stops the call.
Yep.
So I literally in the middle, I was like, oh my God, I got to go ahead and
I saw that. That did pop up. Yes.
Yeah. Cause I was like, Tim, this is incredible what you're able to do. The way that you're able to look and structure, and you do this for clients all the time, correct?
Yes. Yes.
That's amazing. And as somebody kind of goes through your process, so what is like, kind of walk me through the steps that you usually go with somebody. So if somebody's watching this.
Yeah. So the very first thing that we do is we really figure out where you were trying to go. Like, what do you want to accomplish? And most people, and since I work with agencies, they're like, I want to scale. Like, I want to do this. Like, it's going to, like, you know, like a, and, or like, I want to do this and then like step out or something, which by the way, anybody who's talking about, you know, like you can grow your agency and then have someone else run it and just sit around, like that's a bunch of crap. And by the way, why do you really want to build something that you just want to, like, you don't enjoy enough to do? Stop it. But so the first thing we do is we really start with where you want to go And I challenge people so much because very, very few people want to manage 50 people. Because that's hard. Like, it's really hard. It's like managing a bunch of people is so much harder than not managing a bunch of people. And also, if you're going to grow bigger, you have to realize that the thing you do is run the organization, not the stuff that your organization does. So if you get beyond like 6, 8 people, your job, like if you are still doing the stuff or the majority of the stuff that your company does, you don't, like, you're not doing your job as the CEO. That's hard. Like that's so hard because, and actually not being able to let go of doing the stuff is a huge growth limiter for people. I mean, that's the number one reason why agencies don't grow bigger is the CEO can't get the F out of the way. Because they don't know how, not because they don't want to.
For sure.
The other, so we start with where you want to go. And that is often a much more challenging discussion than people imagine because they always tell me, like, I want to scale and I want to have a $50 million agency. And I'm like, no, I bet you do not. Like, do you really want to like have a CFO and have somebody like telling you what you can spend and what you can't and spend half of your life talking to, banks about refinancing your line of credit? No, you don't. Cause that's what CEOs do. You know, like it's very different than being a marketer, which is what most people want to do. But we start there and then we talk about historically, like who have their favorite clients been and why? And what were their favorite jobs and why? And then I also talk to other people on their team and ask all the same questions. And I speak to a client that they love and I speak to another client that maybe they don't love quite so much. And so I get this pretty broad view of what they're really good at. And the thing that I actually challenge people on the most is what does your client get from you that they don't expect? Like, what's the thing that they get that they didn't buy? Because for most agencies, that's the thing that your client actually values. Because it's never performance. Because the difference between a really good agency and a great agency, maybe 10% performance difference. And also, if you work for a client for a long time, like they might be thrilled because in the first 3 months, you totally changed their return on ad spend because they were doing nothing and you did something. But, fast forward 13 months and you were competing against your own last year's numbers, and you only squeak out maybe 12% increase over last year instead of 40. Clients are often like, that's not awesome. Like, why isn't 40% all the time? And so you really need to understand this is something you can probably take away. It's like, what's the value do you add to your client's ecosystem? You know, do you work and play well with other vendors that they have? Are you able to help them understand things through your perspective about parts of the business that you may not touch? You know, like if you're a paid media agency, you have an incredible impact on someone's retention marketing. And if you are not willing to think about that and provide real value to your client, then it doesn't like really matter how good you are, but you really have to understand what it is that you're bringing to the client so that you can start to build your story around who you want to work with, what's the perspective that you bring, and then what's the magic. And the magic is never your process. It's never, your fact that you spend more on Claude tokens than somebody else. It's like, it's none of that crap. It's all about the value that you bring that is that comes alongside the obvious benefit that you bring? Like, do you help your clients think about their business differently?
Mm-hmm.
If not, you're not a very good partner.
Yeah, absolutely. Holy smokes, Tim. You have no idea how much work I have over this weekend coming up right now because of you.
Like, just feed this into Claude and it'll do something for you. We'll figure it out.
No, Tim, seriously, I want to thank you so much for everything that you've done today. And you have no idea how much above and beyond I'm going to go for you as well, because this was seriously probably the best podcast I've ever done in my entire life. So I really appreciate that.
Wow.
Thank you.
I'm blushing a little bit. Thank you. I'm really happy that this was terrific for you.
Absolutely. And everybody listening, seriously, as you literally seen on this, I would highly encourage you to go talk to Tim. This is the reason that I brought him on, is I actually heard him doing another podcast, and I was like, I really want to talk to this guy. I want to see what he's all about. And this is, we've had now two calls together. And I mean, genuinely from the bottom of my heart, this is what you get. What you have seen is what you get. So really make sure to reach out to Tim, because this is fantastic. So Tim, thank you so much for jumping on with me.
You're entirely welcome. And if anybody wants to get in touch, timkilroy.com, where you can subscribe to my newsletter at agencyinnercircle.com and get these delicious nuggets in your inbox twice a week. Or you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm not very hard to find. I spend tons of time spouting my mouth off.
He's too funny. And seriously, guys, go subscribe to his newsletter, because I mean, he's a wisdom of knowledge is the only way to put it. So Tim,
yeah, no, I'm old. What you're saying?
I'm old. Oh, you're too funny. Well, guys, have a wonderful rest of your day, and I will see you on the next episode. And once again, please, please, please go check out Tim. If you are an agency and you need help to get to the next level, Tim is the guy to do so. Guys, have a great rest of your day, and I will see you on the next episode. Ciao.